Welcome to Faith to Faith Ministries. As we told you before, we have a special guest today, originally from Australia, recently from Nashville, Tennessee, Mr. Grant Norsworthy. Grant's played with some major league Christian bands such as Sonic Flood, PC3, and currently he's out with Compassion International, amen? So he's going to be speaking, singing, and preaching today. If he sounds a little bit like the guy on TV, the little green guy that tries to get you to switch car insurance, you'll figure it out. He's from Australia, amen? Hey, he thinks Yen's talk funny too in that. Let's go. Father, I thank you for everybody here today. I thank you, Father, that they braved the heat. They came out to sit in the fan and sweat in the seats a little bit. I thank you, Father, that they came to hear you, that they came to celebrate you today. And I thank you, Father, that they came in one way and they're leaving a different way. Amen. We thank you, Father, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Woohoo! Let's get up and worship.
G'day everybody. Hello, Faith to Faith. It's great to be with you guys. Thank you for making me feel very welcome. Can I just tell you very quickly how welcome I feel? You know, when I was standing at the back there, and do you guys know Iris? Hi, Iris. Do you know her? That's Iris there. Iris is standing talking to me, and I've got a little beard here that I call a soul stripe, and Iris tried to wipe it off. She thought it was some cream on my chin. And no one's done that to me since my mother in Melbourne, Australia. So thank you, Iris, for extending the welcome of Faith to Faith to me. And I don't feel like you guys have met me unless you've met my wife and my son. Thanks for standing, but I've got a couple of photographs to show you. That's my wife, Brooke. Is not my wife hot? And these guys are my main ministry, by the way. I'm going to sing some songs for you, but these guys are my main ministry. Because the ministry we're all called to is the ministry of good relationships, you know, a good reconciled relationship with God and with each other. And so my most important relationships on this earth, at least, are with those guys. My wife, Brooke, on the right, my little boy, Max, in the middle. I'm an Australian. Brooke's a New Zealander. If you've seen Flight of the Conchords, you know that's not supposed to work, but it does. And together, the Australian and the New Zealander, we have an American. That's Max. But we are here this morning to sing praises to God, are we not? We're here to give honor and glory to Him. And so we hope that you would sing with us now. We're going to sing some songs together. We're going to start with a song called Hallelujah. It's an old Hebrew word that means praise ye the Lord, or praise God. And even if you're here checking out what this means, we'd ask you to sing with us anyway. We are not a band performing for you. We're all together in one band singing to the audience of one. God is our audience, all right? And we formed a band this morning, didn't we, about 9:15, 9:30, something? And we learned some songs, and we asked you to join the band. Are you ready to join the band?
Yeah.
All right.
One, two, three, four.
Girls, can you show them where to clap? Clap. Welcome, everybody. If you don't know the song, join in as best you can. Your love is amazing. The chorus is very simple. Hallelujah. Let's sing. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love, let's sing that again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising. Your love is surprising. I can feel it rising. All this joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. And I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah! 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 Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah! 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 Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah! 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 Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Your love makes me sing. Sing, your love makes me sing. Your love makes me sing. Again. Your love makes me sing. Let's hear the people sing it. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah! Just the drums. Hallelujah! Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing hallelujah. Now, in case you're unsure about this, there was some applause there, but we in the band, we realized the applause was not for us, right? It was for the creator of the universe. That's mind-blowing. Isn't that weird? Because you guys shouldn't be applauding us right now. We could applaud the creator of the universe, and if that was the case, there'd be a few more woo-hoos, wouldn't there? Yeah. Keep that in mind after the next song. You're not applauding us. We're applauding the creator of the universe. Yeah, let's clap. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. Let's sing it. Amazing Grace. Here we go.
Amazing grace, how
Twas grace
that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed.
Let's sing the new bit. My chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
My chains are gone.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Here's the soft verse.
The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me
will be forever mine.
You are forever mine.
My chains are gone.
I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
My chains are gone.
My chains are gone. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Yeah, woohoo! Yeah, that's more like it. Onya. It's an Australian term. It's short for good on you. It's like saying well done. Onya. Do you want to say onya with me after three? One, two, three.
Onya.
Perfect. Made me feel homesick. Onya. We're singing about God's grace and His love and singing hallelujah to Him. But here's a song called, is this one called Your Grace is Enough? There it is. Great is Your faithfulness, O God. Yes, there it is.
Great is Your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy. And nothing can keep us apart.
So remember
Your people. Remember Your children. Remember Your promise, oh God.
Your grace is enough.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. is enough for me.
Great is your love and justice.
Great is your love and justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God.
Hallelujah! Your grace is enough.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Let's sing that again. Your grace is enough.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
So remember.
So remember your people. Remember your children, remember your promise, oh God.
Just the guitar and a bit of kick drum. Your grace.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Sing that again. Your grace is enough. Heaven falling down.
Your grace.
Heaven reaching down.
Heaven reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. I am covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me, for me.
Hallelujah. You guys take a seat. Big thank you to the flag wavers. That was very cool. Hey, where's Bill?
I noticed you looked a little sweaty, Grant, so I want to... Is this on? Can you get me? I noticed you looked a little sweaty, Grant, so let me hook you up here. It's a good day.
It's nearly yellow, right? Nearly yellow? Not quite. He's British, though, by the way. Yeah, he's not Australian, but good effort.
We didn't know. Now we know. The lizard ain't from Australia. Grant is. Let's take up an offering now. Honor the Lord with our giving, all right? This is a special day, so I want y'all to dig down and go a little deeper, amen? Then we're going to release the kids. I didn't have no more Faith to Faith t-shirts, so I thought maybe we'd get Grant a little something he can remember our area.
What is that? Wow. Do I have to ride a Harley to wear this? All right, then. I will wear that. Thank you very much.
Guys, start passing. Let's take up an offering now. Honor the Lord with our giving. Come on. Remember your people. Remember your promise. Remember. I'm not allowed to sing, Grant. I was just running off the evil spirits. Grant's a pretty amazing fellow. We were tied up at the airport for about an hour and a half looking for a lost bag. Flight delay, cancellation. We're running a little bit late, a little bit tired. And I was apologizing to Grant for all the difficulties incurred by the Greater Pittsburgh International Airport. I don't know how long he's been on a plane and waiting in airports and everything. He kind of looks over at me and says, "You know, Bill, when I think about it, I was pretty much deserving of hell." And I went, "Wow." And he said, "So anytime I run into an inconvenience or something like that, I just try and remember that I was deserving of hell." And it makes it all a little easier to get through, right? Because remember, if it wasn't for Jesus, we're all deserving of hell. Amen? If you ain't got Jesus, there's an expected end. The good news is we could turn that around today. Amen? Come on. Father, we're believing for it to cool down in here right now in the name of Jesus. 20 degrees. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, right now we thank you for yet another opportunity to put seed into the kingdom of God. Father, we're expecting a harvest back from you, souls, Father, prosperity, health, healing, deliverance, a peace that passes all understanding, just like you said in your word. I thank you for that today, Father. Oh, you're so good. Thank you, Lord. As I tithe and give offerings, I'm believing the Lord for souls and more souls, jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales, commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, discounts and dividends, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills decreased, bills paid off, blessings and increases. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs, that I might have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You might as well woohoo that. That's for you. Amen. That's how that works.
Yay.
Get back here. I know how old you are. He looks young, don't he? He ain't.
All right. See you, kids. On ya. All right, thanks, Bill. What?
On ya, down under. Probably not a good thing to use in conjunction, right? You got something on you down under. What?
you'll have your turn later. Yeah, it's great. Wow. I've got my own fan. Well, welcome, everybody. It's great to be with you guys at Faith to Faith. And Bill, this is a huge thing for me, Bill, for you to avail this position for me to have a chance to speak to your congregation. I'm very thankful. Yeah, all right. He said, don't screw it up. And but this is a big deal. And I had a good chat with Bill over the phone, and we spoke about it. And I've decided that this morning, rather than giving you like this, you know, set piece sort of message, you know, a sermon sort of thing, I've decided just to be a bit more spontaneous. And hopefully that'll leave some gaps, more than gaps, hopefully, for the Holy Spirit to do his thing. You know, whatever he wants to do, that's my hope. So let's say a word of prayer together, and we'll see where we go. I've got some songs I want to sing with you. I've got some stories I want to tell, but more than all that, I would love God to have his way with me and with each of you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come together like this, and we can intentionally sing your praises, and we can read from Scripture, we can talk about what it means to follow you, God. And I pray that each of us in this room, each of us, each and every one of us would step at least one big step more deeply into the mystery of what it is to be in relationship with you, God. Whatever that means, what do we need to lay down, God? What do we need to change? What do we need to take up that enables us to move more deeply into this cosmic romance with you, God? I pray that you would make that obvious to each of us. And start with me. Amen. So I want to tell you a story. You know, I've been a musician for most of my life, and a lot of that time I was playing bass guitar, which you know, anyone will tell you is the coolest of all instruments, by the way. Maybe not the best one, but it's certainly the coolest. What do you think, Rich? Yeah? It is. We agree. So as soon as I met him, I could tell he was cool. You know, like there was something cool going on. Yeah, look at that. He's got the sunnies and all. But I used to play bass guitar in a band called Sonic Flood. Does anyone remember the band Sonic Flood? Now, in the late 90s, early 2000s, Sonic Flood was a very big band. You know, big hits, awards, gold albums, huge concert audiences. All that was strangely before I joined. Nevertheless, I really enjoyed my 3 and a bit years playing with the band. And there was one occasion when the whole band had got in the tour bus and travelled from Nashville north into Canada to do some concerts up there, but I had some other things to take care of back in Nashville before I could be with them. So I took a flight very early the next morning after I'd done what I needed to do in Nashville, and I found myself at Toronto Airport. And I was going to be picked up by a young guy I'd never met before, and he was going to drive me to meet up with the rest of the band in time for the first concert. And it was a bright, sunshiny day in Toronto, and I was standing there at the curbside of this very busy international airport, and I had my very professional flight case containing my early 70s American-made Fender Precision bass guitar. And it was a bright, sunshiny day, as I've said, so I slipped on my, what I call my rock star sunglasses. Do you want to see them? All right, here they are. These are my rock star sunglasses. I'll leave them on for the moment. But I was standing there waiting for this young guy I'd never met before. And sure enough, a car pulled up pretty quickly. A young guy got out and he said, "You must be the guy from Sonic Flood." And I said, "Well, how could you tell?" And I loaded up my bass guitar and I sat beside him. And we had a fair way to drive. So we're driving along about 3.5 hours it was. We were chatting away, making small talk. And about halfway through the journey, I don't know why, but I decided to take off my glasses. And it was right then I realised they weren't the way I thought they were. They were actually like this. I looked like an idiot. And this is a true story, I'm sorry to tell you. And I did what you might have expected. I went, "Oh, the lens of my glasses must have just fallen out." And the Canadian guy went like this. No, dude, you were like that at the curbside of Toronto Airport.
What?
I said, no, you must be mistaken, buddy. There's no way I was like this with all those people around me thinking I was looking cool, looking like this. There's no way. You must be mistaken. And he said, I've got no reason to lie to you, eh? He was right. I had to concede defeat because I found the missing lens. It was still in the case, in my backpack, behind me. I had been like this for I don't know how many minutes. Totally unaware that there was one lens missing from the glasses. Totally unaware of it. Hi, yes, musician. Thank you. Yes. And I said to the guy, well, why didn't you help a brother out? I mean, look at me. Why didn't you say something when you first saw me? And he said, well, I thought maybe you had an eye condition. Which I do. But here's the thing. This is the point I'm trying to make by telling you this story. You know, sometimes there can be things that I'm missing. Amen. Things that I'm not seeing. Things that are invisible to me. That are wrong with me. You know, I can be used to the thing that's wrong with me. I don't see the thing that's wrong with me. I'm distracted by other things around me. I'm used to it. It's always been there. And friends, I'm going to try and speak about perhaps the toughest thing with this idea of being a follower of Jesus or being a Christian. And here's the toughest thing about it. I think it can be so easily invisible to us. So when I'm talking and singing and speaking to you, telling stories this morning, I'd hope that you would not make what I'm saying this morning about someone else. It's about me. Do you get it? This is about me. I don't know where we are at individually in this idea of following Jesus or being a Christian or being a disciple of the Christ. I don't know where you're at. You might be just here this morning just checking it out and you're interested, or maybe someone dragged you here. But I think probably most of us, we've had some experience of God's love for us, haven't we? So something of God has done something that we can't explain. He's touched us, he's moved us, and his grace that we've been singing about has somehow made a change. Maybe you've been healed. Maybe you can tell that those things that used to drag you down, they're just gone now. Those addictions or those behaviors or those, they're just gone. And that's... So I'm going to gauge from that applause that that's many of us here. I'm one of those people. You know, I was addicted to pornography for most of my life. And then one day, after years and years and years and years of trying in my own strength, something changed. And the desire was gone. Guys, there's things in our lives that are wrong now. And I'm going to try and speak and sing about those. But it seems to me that this idea of... It's so weird. I don't want to say being a Christian because I've traveled around the world and I found that word Christian confuses people. You know, it means one thing in Melbourne, Australia, where I'm from. It means a different thing in Nashville, Tennessee, where everyone's a Christian. Everybody, right? Buckle of the Bible Belt. It's not so much the buckle of the Bible Belt. It's the little hole where the metal goes through in Nashville. It means a different thing in Northern Ireland, where people were blowing up each other up over Protestant Catholic. It means a different thing in Turkey. You know what it means in Turkey? And I've been there a couple of times. In the country Turkey, Christian means any Westerner who's coming to destroy my culture. That's what it means. So I'm not going to use that word, all right? So what does it really mean to be a follower of Jesus? Well, I guess I'm a fundamentalist. And isn't it interesting how the word fundamentalist in 2012 has come to mean a religious fanatic? Well, I don't think of myself as being religious. I don't think of myself as being a fanatic. But I'm a fundamentalist. And the word fundamentalist means I want to get to the real core issue. I want to get down into the where it really happens. And there's a little two-word Australian term, fair dinkum, like Anya. Fair dinkum, F-A-I-R-D-I-N-K-U-M. Fair dinkum means real, honest, legitimate, valuable. And I'm going to be fair dinkum with you this morning. Guys, I think there's something wrong. But this idea of following Jesus, being his disciple, being a worshiper of God, seems to me it comes down to these three basic steps, fundamental steps. Step number one, I realize that God loves me. I don't know why. I don't get it. I don't feel like I deserve it. I mean, I'm a wretch. Think about the stuff I've done. But over that, for some reason, I get that God is there and He loves me. And once step one is in place, step two, I can't help myself but love Him in return. I didn't decide to. His love for me connected and I found myself in love with Him. Yes, in love, like a romantic love, but deeper than that, bigger than that, fuller than that. And that's when step three happens, and I can't control step three either. Step three is when I live the way God asks me to. So I want you to say this after me, all right? Let's be fair income about it. Step one, not enough passion. Step one, all right, we get it now. God loves me. Step two, I love Him. Step three, I will live the way He asks me to. That's it. That's the whole thing of being a follower of Jesus. I can't control any of those steps. You try and keep all the rules, and I have to be careful here. You try and keep step number three. You try and keep all the rules without being swept into this love with God. Well, that's just religion, isn't it? We might even say that's Christianity, quote unquote. The world's had a gut full of religion, keeping the rules for rules' sake. No. It doesn't work. Try and manufacture step number two. Try and be in love with God when you don't know His love for you. Well, you don't even believe He's there, right? How can we love a God that doesn't first love us? So it's all about step number one. Well, I don't get number one. But it seems to me that as I surrender, as I give up, not try harder to keep the rules, but as I surrender, as I give up, that's when His love breaks through. I don't increase His love for me. It's there, but I get it. It comes into me. For some reason, my heart here is like it's got rusty gates and the hinges are all rusted together. And for some reason, it's hard for me to crank those gates open. But God wants to put His healing oil on the rusty hinges of my heart and let those gates swing wider. And when the gates swing wider, more of His overwhelming love finds its way into my broken heart. And then I love Him. And then I live the way He asks me to. And here's the thing, guys. You might feel like, no, my gates are never going to be any more open. Maybe you feel like my gates are rusted shut and there's no helping me. But perhaps even more dangerous, you might think that your gates are as wide as they can possibly be. Perhaps even more dangerous. There is more of God's love for each of us in this room. More of His transforming, changing, healing love. But love's not a very helpful word to use in 2012, is it? You see, we use the same word love to say, oh, I love pizza. Oh, I love my girlfriend. I love the Steelers. I love God. Each and every one of us in this room has had love misrepresented to us. All of our lives, people have tried to love us perhaps, and we've learnt the opposite of how God loves. Haven't we learnt conditional love? Now, my parents did a pretty good job of loving me, but they did not a good job compared to God. Think about our legal system. We will love you if you behave this way, but if you behave that way, we'll throw you in jail. We'll fine you. Get enough good grades in high school, we'll let you go to college. Get enough good grades in college, we'll give you a good job. We'll pay you a lot of money. Have enough money, we'll give you gifts of all sorts of things. As wonderfully as my wife Brooke loves me, it's not perfect love. It's conditional love. We have a terribly tough time of seeing God's unconditional love. No strings attached. No obligation. In fact, that word love falls so far short when I can say I love pizza and I love God. Maybe we need this word grace. Grace. This grace love. And I think a lot of us will know what I mean when I say this. Grace is better than justice. Do you know what justice is? As Bill was saying, justice is I go to hell. And so do every one of us in this room. That's justice. Justice is not going to cut it. None of us are good enough. None of us. What we need is grace. We sang about it. Your grace is enough. Amazing grace. I sang it. I've sung those songs a million times. I still don't get it. There's something broken in me. Something blocking God's grace. I love my little boy Max. And I'm trying very hard when I'm his dad to try and let him know that his behavior is nothing to do with how I love him. My dad did a really good job, but I tell you what, I came away from being raised by my father with an idea that if I did well, then he loved me, and if I did wrong, he didn't. Maybe you did too. And I'm trying to say things to little boy Max, who's 5 years old now. I'm trying to say to him, Max, buddy, you haven't done what daddy wanted. Oh, there he is. There's little Max. Pretty cool, huh? Hey, if you meet Max, don't tell him he's cute. He knows. But there was a, just hold on there. That photograph was taken actually a few minutes after I'd had to say something like this to Max. I said, Max, you've done the wrong thing. You've done a behavior that we don't want in our family. But please understand, Max, this doesn't change how I love you. There's nothing you can do to make me love you more. There's nothing you can do to make me love you less. I love you. I love you as much as I feel like I can right now. And it's growing every day, Max, but there is some consequences to your actions. There are some disciplinary things that I'm going to have to do. And a few minutes after that, my little boy Max brought me this handwritten note. He hasn't gone to school yet. He's going to start in August. But check out this note and see if you can read what that says. Does anyone want to raise their hand and have a go at reading what that says? Any elementary school teachers here might have a go, especially if you're a beginner's like a... No? Right, here's the translation. I know my dad loves me. That's how it's supposed to be. Here's his thing again. Here's the slide, the photograph. I know my dad loves me. That's how it's supposed to be. I'm going to keep that piece of paper forever, right? But this is how it is for us and God. I know my dad loves me. Now, your earthly father, you might think he did a good job, bad job, terrible job. But don't compare the love of God, this grace love, compared to the love of your father. It will never measure up. We've got to somehow strip away that to be able to surrender more completely to God's love. But get this. When I come home after this trip on Monday night, and I do a lot of traveling away from Nashville, away from my wife Brooke, and away from my son Max. Think about this. If I walked in the door after a trip like this and I had a list in front of me, a piece of paper, a checklist, and I walked in the door and I shut the door behind me and I said, hello, Brooke. How are you? Oh. Did you have a good weekend? I worked hard. I earned some money. I kept to our wedding vows while I was away. Yes, I didn't look at any pornography. I didn't have an affair. Okay? Good deal. Wives, how does that feel? That doesn't feel like love, does it?
Not at all.
Now, my wife wants the list kept. But she wants that to flow out of my love for her, not out of obligation. And I'm realizing that my relationship with God is so much like my relationship with Brooke in many ways. My relationship with God is very much like my relationship with Max. This idea of unconditional love. I want to keep the list. I want to read the Bible and know how God wants me to live. But I can't be lured into the trap of measuring how much God loves me by how I measure up. Because His grace is overwhelming. Can I sing a song for you guys? This is a good point for it, right? I want to show you guys my favorite photograph of Brooke and Max. Check this out. That was when Max was only a few weeks old. And when he was that age, he had a lot of trouble getting to sleep at night. And so on one particular night, I found myself in his darkened bedroom. And he was screaming his little lungs out. He had acid reflux. And I was holding him like this, and I was swaying from side to side and stroking his little back and patting him. And as his daddy, I would have done anything to take away his pain, but nothing seemed to be helping. It was a consequence of life. And he was in pain, but there was nothing I could do. And then I thought at random to start singing a song, a well-known song. Maybe you know it. It was "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." And I sang that song to him over and over again, and it worked. He fell asleep in my arms. It only took 40 minutes of singing that song. But he fell asleep. But you know what I realized as I sang that song? I sang that very simple song over and over again, and I realized something about these words: "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." I don't believe they're true. Now hang with me here. Think about it. Let's be fair dinkum. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Maybe there's something wrong with me, but it takes more than that for me to know that God loves me. Now understand this. I believe the Bible is a collection of 66 books that were written by people who are directly inspired by the Holy Spirit to do so. I believe that is true. Please don't mishear me. What I'm talking about is the book, the Bible, the product of the printing press, the lump of paper with ink on the paper. The Bible. I do not believe that God loves me. I don't know that Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. And if you're going to be fair dinkum, I think you're going to realize that that's not true for you either. You're going to tell me that I'm supposed to believe that there is a God and that He loves every one of the 6 billion people on the planet, including me, stinking, selfish me, so much that He died for me because I read the information on a piece of paper, even if it's bound in the Bible? No, it takes more than that. It takes more than my parents telling me growing up, God loves you. It takes more than my Sunday school teacher telling me, God loves you. It takes more than a preacher or a pastor saying, God loves you. Doesn't it take more than that? Doesn't it take more than that to crank open the rusty gates of my heart? It does. I'm pleased to be able to tell you that I am convinced that God loves me. And this love that's flowing into me is changing me. It's making me want to live more the way He asks me to. But I'm finding He tells me in many different ways. He tells me through the beauty of His creation. A sunset, a mountain range, the ocean. He tells me through a still small voice directly into my soul, His Holy Spirit whispering to me, Grant, I love you. He tells me through relationships, especially these relationships. When I am connecting with Brooke or Max, you know what I hear? I love you. I was walking out in the woods with my little boy just a couple of weeks ago. And I kind of half jokingly said to Max, as this breeze was making a beautiful rustling sound through the treetops, I said, hey, Max, stop, listen. And he said, what, Dad? I said, I think I hear God whispering to us. And he said, what's God saying? And I said, I think He's saying, Max,
Grant, I love you. And Max's face lit up and he said, I hear that too. And yes, I believe God speaks to me through the words on the page of the Bible. But it's not the Bible that's speaking to me. It's God himself. I want to open the scripture. I want to do that because I'm in doing so, God speaks to me through the page. Friends, if we're going to allow the rusty hinges of our gates to be oiled and open, then we need to let God be speaking to us anytime he wants to, in any way he wants to. Right? Because if we understand that God loves us, then we won't be able to help it but love him in return. And when we know that, then we will live the way he asked me to. You know, I'm trying to sell some CDs here this morning. I'm also trying to get some children sponsored with Compassion International. Now, a little bit more about that in a moment. But here's a song from the album, and it takes that little song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, adds some bits and changes some bits and comes up with this. I came up with this. I hope you like it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, but still I'm crying out and thirsting for more. I need more than the words on a page to show that you love me. I do. Hear me cry out for you in the desert. Come, let it rain again. Jesus loves me, I should know. From the sky above, the oceans wide, and earth below. Gracious gift of peace and joy, and the holy love that's flowing from my baby boy. Yes, Jesus loves me, but still I know that there will always be more. I need more than the words on a page to show that you love me. I do. Hear me cry out for you in the desert. Come, let it rain again, again. I need more than the words on a page. The words are good, but the author I crave. I need more than the words on a page to show that you love me. I do, I do, I do, I do. Yes. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Lord Jesus tells me so. Hear the difference? Yes, I want to read scripture, but I've got to open that Bible so that God himself speaks to me through the page. A living God. This is not academic knowledge. This is a mysterious romance. Would you sing with me, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, Lord Jesus Tells Me So?
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Lord Jesus tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. yes, Jesus loves me. Lord Jesus tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Let's stand and sing.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible.
Sing it one more time. I'm going to change. Keep singing. Yes, Jesus.
More than the words on our page. The words are good, but the author I crave. I need more than the words on our page. To show that you love me, I do, I do, I do, I do. Lord Jesus tells me so.
Guys, there is always more. There's always more. Take a seat for a moment.
It's pretty hot in here, isn't it? Yesterday it was 106 in Nashville. But we can go for a few more minutes. Can you guys ride this out with me for a few more minutes? I'm finding myself all passioned up, you know? I just need a couple of onions. That'd help. Onions? All right, all right. Okay. You know this word, testimony, we sometimes use in Christian culture. Do you use it here? Testimony? Do people sometimes get up and give their testimony? All right? Well, get this. This is what I've noticed. Usually when we say the word testimony in church, what we mean is we're going to ask someone to come up and tell their story of where they were before this love of God, this gracious Jesus love hit them, and where they are now, right? This is where I was, but this is where I am now because of God. And they're beautiful stories. I love hearing those stories, right? And in fact, the wider the gap between where I was and where I am now, the better, really. You know, we like those stories. I used to be a drug dealer, you know? I used to be a hitman for the mafia, but the grace of God. You know, I used to be a Bruins fan, but then the grace of God, you know. I used to ride a Suzuki, but then the grace of God, you know. We like the stories when there's a big, wide gap, don't we? In fact, if the gap is wide enough, we'll give that person a book deal. But I've noticed that almost always, in fact, always, those stories are past tense. I used to be a mess, but because of the grace of God, I'm actually not a mess anymore. But here's what happens. Here's the problem. Kind of as soon as you've joined the Christian club, there's this enormous pressure, right, Bill, to appear like this. You know, like this is the grace of God, and really, I'm pretty close to that now. There's no real mess now. I'm pretty close to perfect. I'm not going to claim I am perfect. But I'm really not going to tell you about where the mess is right now, right? Especially if you're a person who gets up in front of other people and preaches or does music. There's a pressure to let that story be only past tense, only from the past. And now I'm actually like this. I'm going to say to you that everybody loves these stories, not just people in the church. Everyone loves these stories. I used to be a mess, but now I'm a fine, upstanding member of society. I love my wife and my kids. I'm doing things to help the community. I'm caring for the poor. Everyone loves those stories. And I think the reason why people love these stories is because they sense the amount of grace in between there, the amount of Jesus himself, I'm going to say. That's beautiful. This is attractive. People want to know these stories. But you know what is unattractive? This. Not enough Jesus fits through here. Not enough Jesus fits through here, folks. Right? The journey of being a follower of Jesus is not this. I used to be a mess. And then God's love hit me. His amazing grace, and now I'm here and I've got it all together. That is not it. Let's be fair dinkum. We're still a mess, aren't we? I'll try that again. Let's be fair dinkum. We're still a bit of a mess, aren't we? But this is what I've realized. The journey of being a follower of Jesus, surrendering my life to Him, being a disciple of Christ is not I used to. It's now. The journey of being a follower of Jesus is not once upon a time the grace and the love of God hit me, I was healed, something dramatic happened, but now I'm here. No, the journey of being a follower of Jesus is this. There was a point in my life when God's grace first hit me. But you know what I'm realizing? My need for His grace is more than I've ever realized. Hey, let's be clear about this. This is not my behavior getting worse. Right? This is me realizing that, no, I'm actually in more need of grace than ever before. That harsh word for my wife that I would never have thought of as being less than graceful is actually, I'm realizing that it is terrible. Might need some help over there. You okay? Crummy chair. Slippery floor. You all right, mate? Thumbs up? Good deal. Praise God. Or maybe it was the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing, guys. This is not my behavior getting worse. This is me realizing that, no, I haven't arrived. You know what it says in Isaiah? It says, the very best I do is as dirty, stinky rags. See, here's the thing. We want to make following Jesus still about my behavior. I'm not doing the obvious bad sins now. So I must be in God's good books. The only group of people that Jesus had a big problem with while He was on earth were not the drunkards, were not the prostitutes, were not the bikers and the gangbangers, not the fishermen. It was the people who thought their behavior was good with God. That's the only group of people that He had a problem with. Whitewashed tombs, He called them. You're like a cup that looks good on the outside and inside it's stinky and dirty. Amen. That's what this is. The journey of being a follower of Jesus is this. There was a point in my life where God's grace hit me, but I'm realizing that the very best I do is not acceptable to God. There's nothing I can do to measure up. I need His grace more and more and more than I've ever realized. And His grace, His amazing grace, is so much more amazing than I first realized. It is sufficient for me. Not this. This. This is attractive. This is beautiful to even people who don't call themselves Christian. Don't attend our church meetings. We've got to stop carrying ourselves like we've got it together. We've got to start owning the junk, not to be condemned by it. No, no condemnation, but conviction. We need to be able to go to our brothers and our sisters and say, I'm sorry, I've done you wrong. We know we can't have a band that's having arguments and fighting with one another. Doesn't make any sense. If we know that we deserve hell, then why are we fighting about things that don't matter? Right? Let's carry ourselves like this. But look at this. You see that? Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect life. And you and I nailed Him to a cross. And He died. And He rose again. And He gives Himself to us completely. How good is his love? It's unconditional. It's overwhelming. His grace is amazing. When I realize how he loves me, I cannot help but love him in return. And then I will live the way he asks me to. And how does he live us to, how does he ask us to live? Like this. He says, the way I loved you, by dying on a cross, that's how I want you to love, by dying on a cross. He says it in Matthew 16:24. I think we've got that verse to show. Because Cody's so quick off the mark. I think he's going to pull it up there. Matthew 16:24, at least in the translation I know, says, if anyone would call themselves my disciple, if anyone would call themselves my follower, a Christian, a worshipper of God, if anyone would call themselves a disciple, they have to come after me. Let him deny himself. Do you know what that means in our 2012 talk? Turn away from my selfishness, my pride, my willfulness. Try having an argument without pride or willfulness. It won't happen. It won't happen. My desire to live my life my way must be surrendered. I have to pick up my own cross and follow. You see, we in 2012, we want to stop short. We want to say, God loves me. He died for me, period. If I want to fully and completely swim into the mystery of this relationship with God, then I need to realize that the evidence, the signal that I'm giving off that shows that God's love really is in me and that I love him, is that I'll be living the way he asked me to, which is a selfless life. So the opportunity to worship God, to show the worth of God, is not just Sunday morning. We can come together in this room and worship God, yes, but it's one of the expressions of worship. It's the easiest one, actually. Coming here on Sunday, even though it's hot, this is easy. Singing songs to praise God, that's an expression of worship. It's not worship in and of itself. No, worship really means to show the worth of God. And the way I show the worth of God is to carry my own cross. Romans 12:1, if you fast, says to be a living sacrifice. I am the sacrifice now. My desire to live life my way. This doesn't mesh well with the American dream, I'm sorry to tell you. Deny yourself. Not what I want, but what you want. As John the Baptist said in John 3:30, he must be becoming greater. I must be becoming less. More of Jesus, less of me. A hero of mine by the name of Oswald Chambers, he wrote a book called My Utmost to His Highest. He says it this way. There is nothing, no problem, no situation, no circumstance for the follower of Jesus that is not answered by the same simple answer. Anything life throws at you, if you are a follower of Jesus, is answered by these words. Less of me and more of Jesus. Every moment of every day is an opportunity to worship God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 366 on a leap year, and this is a leap year. So I've come this morning with a bunch of these envelopes. It looks like plastic, it looks like cardboard. But this is actually the life of a little girl named Aileen from Rwanda. And you know what it says in Matthew 25, between the verses 31 and 46? It's quite a big, long passage, Cody, so we won't read it all. But this passage in Matthew 25 is the last piece of teaching that Jesus gives before he is betrayed and crucified. To me, it's the exclamation point on his earthly ministry in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Read it. It talks about Judgment Day. It talks about something that we in the church really don't want to know about because we think we've got it covered. Jesus says that one day, everybody is going to stand before God. And God will separate you and me, us, into one of two groups. The way a shepherd would separate sheep from goats. You know this story? One day he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And me being raised in the church all my life, I've heard that part of the story and then I've stopped. I've assumed that I'm a sheep. I've just thought, well, I must be a sheep, right? Why? Well, I guess because I pray the sinner's prayer, because I know something of God's love for me, because I'm in church meetings on Sunday, because I sing praises to God, because I read my Bible. I must be a sheep because I'm trying to be a good person to a certain point. I'm not doing any of the obvious outward sins that people would notice. I must be a sheep, right? Wrong. That's not what Jesus says at all. Jesus says very clearly in Matthew 25, and you can take it alongside other passages from Scripture, that the thing that makes me be a sheep and not a goat is one thing. Anybody know? I assume we're followers of Jesus here. Anyone want to tell me the only outward sign that God is looking for? The blood of Jesus, but the only outward sign. Yes, let's be really clear about this. There's nothing that earns me being a sheep. It is the grace of God. I hope we've covered this really clearly. It's the grace of God upon me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But in Matthew 25, friend, Jesus describes only one outward sign that the blood of Jesus is on me at all. Only one outward sign that God is looking for to decide whether I'm a sheep or a goat. We're his follower. What is it? It's not that. It's how I treat the least of these. It's how I treat the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the lonely, and the imprisoned. I've got to say this again. It is the blood of Jesus that would make me a sheep, that would save me. It's what grace is that saves me. Beautiful. You're good. There it is. Let's read it together, shall we? Matthew 25:37. Here we go, together from the top. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? We've got the next verse. 25:38. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? 39. Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So Jesus goes even further. Now, it might be this child that I'm holding right here, the little girl from Rwanda named Aline, but it could be other least of these that you know in your family, in your town, someone who's lonely, who's hungry, who's thirsty, who's in prison, someone you know who's doing life tough. Get this, in a mysterious Matthew 25 sense, that person is Jesus, waiting for me to respond selflessly. This is why I'm so thrilled to be partnered with you guys here at Faith to Faith, because I know a little bit about Bill and he's told me a few things and I looked at the website. This is what your leader is all about, caring for others. I think he's reached out to many of us in this room just with love and compassion, not with strings attached, but just, all right, I'm going to get you a washing machine. All right, I'm going to pick you up and bring you. Can I commend you? Bill, I travel around to a lot of church groups and brother, you're doing it. And I'm sorry to tell you, I don't see enough of it. Not in the other churches that I visit and not in me. Not yet. We haven't arrived yet, have we, Bill? So here's the deal. I want to sing a song for you, and then we're going to bring the meeting to a close. I know it's getting late and it's hot, but you guys have been amazing. I'd love to do two more songs. Is that okay? All right. Well, here's the deal. There's going to be one song for you to listen to and one song for you to sing with me. All right? And the song I want to sing for you is a song called Rwanda, because that's the country where this little girl is from in East Africa, Aileen. And she looks so much like a lot of the kids I've seen, because in 2009 I got to go to Rwanda. And I tell you this, to be serious, to be fair dinkum, I met more God in Rwanda than I meet in the United States or in my home country of Australia, because there were people there who can't rely on their coolness, on their possessions, on their government. They can't rely on anything except Jesus. The people who I met who showed this unconditional love more than anybody else are the people in Rwanda. I met Jesus in Karabo and Rafiki and Sandrine, the little kids that I sponsor through Compassion. I put down $38 a month for each of those kids and make sure that they're fed and clothed and get clean drinking water, medical attention, education. I put down that money so that they hear about the love of God. But you know what? They show me the love of God more than I've showed them. Easy. And so this invitation I'm going to give you to you this morning, you know, some of us this morning might want to respond and come and meet Bill or other leaders over here to pray, to swim more deeply into the mystery of Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe it's time to surrender some of these behaviors and things that are blocking more of God's love. And you can't do that on your own. You have to confess it to somebody. Guys, that stuff on the computer, it's got to stop. If we're going to know how much God loves us, we cannot be doing that stuff. It'll block stuff of God. The behavior is actually not a problem. It's the blocking of God's love that's the problem. Your salvation is not dependent on your behavior, but the behavior indicates God's love. It's a paradox. It doesn't make sense, but there it is. But I'm hoping that many of us, and I've got a friend, Judy. Hi, Judy, at the back there. She's from Compassion. She doesn't work for Compassion. I'm not on the staff of Compassion, but we're both people who love what Compassion do. So you might want to respond this morning by praying with somebody, but you might also want to respond like this. If you want to, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and Judy's going to slip one of these into your hand. And that's not you saying, I'm going to sponsor this child, I'm going to pay $38 a month. That's not what you're saying. If you want to raise your hand, what Judy's going to do is slip one of these into your hand. We'll do it in a moment. Good on you, Ryan. And that's you saying, I want to look into this face and see if I see Jesus. This Matthew 25 Jesus that the weird Australian's talking about. I'm going to actually look into this face and spend a couple of minutes praying for this child, engaging with this child, and see if I see Matthew 25, least of these, the way I treat this little person is the way I treat Jesus. And if you're prepared to do that, and I think we've got like 40 of these packets here. I think we've got about 40 of them. I'm hoping we've got at least 40 people or couples or families who want to gather around these and spend the last song praying for these kids, right? And if at the end of the time that's where it ends for you, then just make sure you put that envelope back on the table for us, okay? Don't take it home, because I want to get all these kids sponsored tonight. I'm going up to Prospect and I'm going to get them all sponsored, I hope. But if you feel compelled by God to reflect His grace for you in this practical way, to connect with the least of these, then you can pull this out, this blue form, you can fill that out, give us your credit card or your debit card details for a $38 per month payment. It's expensive. It'll cost. But that'll be between you and God, not between me and you. I really don't care whether you sponsor a child or not. I want you to engage with those who are in need, because that's where Jesus is, right? And here's the thing. You may not feel compelled to sponsor a child, but if you are feeling moved somehow by this, you need to go to Bill today and say, Bill, I'm ready to engage with God through the least of these. What do you want me to do? Because without speaking to Bill, I know that he's got lists as long as both arms of ways that we could be helping the community here. Am I right? People who are in need. Not because we're religiously good and can check a box. I'm a good person. Watch me. No. But because I want to respond to the grace of God. You get it? So please listen as I sing this song, Rwanda. And Judy's going to move amongst us. Just raise your hand if you'd like one of these and she'll hand it to you even right now. Judy, come right to the front, sweetie. If you'd like one of these, this is not you saying you're going to sponsor, but if you do want to sponsor, you fill out the blue paper and meet me at the table or Judy at the table immediately after the service. And I know Ryan wanted one.
I hope I've been clear about that. What you're doing right now, if you want to take one of these, is to spend a few minutes while I sing this song praying for a child, connecting with a child. We've got some photographs to show you from my visit to Rwanda.
Speak to me, my friend. Let me kiss your turning cheek as horror became beginning. Take me to your tombs. Let us dance and sing for joy as darkness became forgiveness. I've thought of you poor, but now I am sure. Oh, Rwanda, there is faith within your thousand hills, Rwanda. Oh, Rwanda, there is faith within your thousand smiles, Rwanda. Oh, Rwanda. Teach what I can't know. Simple wisdom of the meek will call me to pray unceasing. Draw me to my knees. Share the cross to die the cost and suffering brings faithfulness. I've thought of you poor, but now I am sure. Oh, Rwanda, there is hope within your thousand hills, Rwanda. There is faith within your thousand smiles, Rwanda. Oh, Rwanda. Death turns to light, darkness to right. The least hold the richness of God in their heart. Forgive me, oh Rwanda.
Hey Judy, come to the front here. Understand this, if you take one of these child profiles, I'm hoping you're not feeling sort of like manipulated or sticky and guilty or anything like that. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. But I'm hoping that we all want to pray for these kids and connect with them and just see what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. So as I sing the last little bit of this song, I hope we can have a handful more people raise their hands. After the service, you just put it back on the table. I'm not going to look at you weirdly. I'm not going to ask you any weird questions. I'm not going to try and offer you some steak knives or anything like that. You just give them back. Come on, raise your hand. Let's have Judy come to you.
Oh, Rwanda.
wonder. There is love within your thousand hills, Rwanda. Oh, Rwanda. There is love within your thousand smiles, Rwanda. Oh, Rwanda. There is faith within your thousand hills, Rwanda. There is grace within your thousand smiles, Rwanda. Oh, Rwanda. Judy, you pray for that one, all right? You pray for that little kid. Hey, it's been a long day. It's hot. Can we finish by singing a song together? All right. Let's stand together. We're going to sing When I Survey. And I hope we're going to sing. It's an old hymn. But it tells us about the cost of the cross. When I survey. Here we go.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride.
See from his head.
See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Oh, so rich a crown.
Were the whole realm.
Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Sing, oh.
Oh, thou wonderful cross, oh, thou wonderful cross, bid me come and die, find that I might truly live. Oh, thou wonderful cross, oh, thou wonderful cross, all who gather here, by grace draw near, and bless your name, bless your name.
Bill and his team are going to meet you down the front here, I believe. If you want to come and speak to someone, pray with someone about any aspect of this, about swimming more deeply into the mystery of the love of God, they want to meet you here. Right, Bill? Let's sing Forbid It, Lord. Here we go.
Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood.
Oh, the wondrous.
Oh, thou wonderful cross. for thy wonderful cross. Bid me come and die, find that I might truly live. Oh, thou wonderful cross, oh, thou wonderful cross, all who gather here, by grace draw near, and bless your name, bless your name.
So here's the deal. There's some people here at the front who want to pray with you, and that'd be good. If you are holding a child in your hand from Compassion, please visit us at the table. That'll be either just to return the profile and we'll thank you for your prayers, or you might decide to fill out the blue paperwork and become a sponsor. Start writing letters, receiving letters, building a relationship. You can do that on your own or with some other people. But please don't take that profile, that plastic envelope home, unless you first give us the blue piece of paper, all right? Let's sing Oh the Wondrous Cross one more time.
Oh, thou wonderful cross, oh, thou wonderful cross, bid me come and die, and find that I might truly live. Oh, thou wonderful cross, oh, thou wonderful cross, all who gather here, by grace draw near, and bless your name, bless your name.
Heavenly Father, God, Jesus, the Christ, Holy Spirit, one God, thank you. Thank you for your amazing, overwhelming grace. Help us each to understand more of your grace. Crank open the rusty hinges on the gates of our heart so that we will love you more in return. And God, transform us into people who are living the way you ask us to, which is the way you showed us, by laying down our own lives, our selfishness, our pride, our desire to live life our way. Your will be done, God, not mine. More of you, less of me. Amen.
If you need prayer for anything, come forward. If not, we'd appreciate it if you fold up a chair, put it up against the wall.